of being in the sanctuary is experiencing the presence of the Lord. We know the Lord reveals himself to us more than just in the sanctuary. We know that. We know he reveals himself to us through his creation. We call that general revelation. But he reveals himself to us even more through his word. And so that's why it's so important that we are spending plenty of time in God's word, especially for sure on Sunday morning, but even through the week. What happens here is just the beginning of your presence with God. You're spending time with God through the week. And so we're thankful we can take that time now and that the Spirit guides us. So we continue with this Lenten journey we're on with Jesus to the cross, to the Gospel of John. As we read John chapter 16, verses 1 to 15. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They'll put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They'll do such things because they've not known the Father or me. I told you this so that when their time comes, you'll remember that I warned you about them. I didn't tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he'll receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as you've already heard, we had the privilege of grieving the death of Ray Bloomfield yesterday. I say privilege because it's always a privilege to gather with a grieving family, and it's always a privilege to hear the stories. We heard many good stories yesterday. It was very moving of how the Lord had used Ray to touch so many people, including us, in his final years of life, and we're so thankful. Interesting to me, funerals, I mean, you don't plan death, or usually you don't plan death. I guess that's maybe changing our culture a little bit. Generally, you don't plan death, and so funerals come fairly quickly. And funeral sermons are written in haste, but they're often the ones that seem to be the best received. I find it always amazing. And yesterday, we not only heard a short funeral sermon, but we heard a number of testimonies and little messages that just increased the blessing and the teaching and the encouragement that occurred that day. So as I was thinking about Ray's funeral and the grieving ministry as I was preparing this message, and it strikes me, although we heard a funeral sermon or sermons yesterday, Jesus is now preparing for his own funeral. Kind of interesting. At this point in the Gospel of John, he is almost at the cross. We are making our final approach to the cross now. Good Friday is coming, and I can't wait. And I can't wait even more for Easter. That is our glorious celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, and we just can't wait for that. But just like a funeral needs preparation, just like we walk with someone in preparation for death, We walk with Jesus now, and he walks with us through the Gospel of John. And it has been a good journey, at least for me, a rich, rich journey heading to the cross. So today, we don't hear a funeral sermon. We wait till Good Friday to hear the happy life for Jesus. But we hear what I might think of as a pre-funeral message. Jesus continues to give his last words to the disciple before he goes away to the cross and to the Father. And oh, just as grieving people listen to God's word, these disciples, I think they're listening hard. They are grieving. We call it anticipatory grief. They're grieving the death of their Lord and Master Jesus. And they are just clinging to him, if you like, for dear life in those last moments of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus knows they're grieving, so he gives them more teaching, more encouragement. And how can we get to receive it too as we make our final approach to the cross? And as it turns out, and as the Lord would have it, Jesus chooses to teach on the coming and the work of the Holy Spirit. And some of his final words to the disciples. And this is very good news for the disciples and good news for us, as we're going to find out in a moment. But as we think about the Holy Spirit, it may be helpful to be reminded today that that the church, we believe in a Trinitarian, a triune God. And there's been a lot of ink spilled over the years trying to explain the Trinity. We believe that God reveals himself to us as one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great mysteries of our faith, but it is one of the key points of Orthodoxy. We know that those who are not Trinitarian are not part of the true Christian Church, and our creeds and confessions make that abundantly clear. Interestingly, the word Trinity does not appear in the Scriptures, because that name was developed later in church history. But God certainly reveals himself as triune in the Scriptures, and this is one of the key triune or Trinitarian texts. Can you see God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this story? He's there. And it's a beautiful thing. Because Jesus is saying in his last words to disciples, God is here, God is present, God is triune. And he focuses on the coming and the work of the Holy Spirit, that the third person of the Trinity, and the spiritual guide that the disciples desperately needed at this time, and would desperately need moving forward in their future without Jesus. Now, it's interesting, as I was reflecting on this theology of the Holy Spirit, or this teaching of the Holy Spirit this week, different churches put different emphases on different doctrines. Sometimes I think people think in our Reformed tradition we don't emphasize the Holy Spirit enough. Perhaps that's true. But if you look at our creeds and confessions, we have a rich theology of the Holy Spirit. It's really rich and deep and just beautiful. And so, and part of that theology actually comes out of this text. And so we get to enjoy that rich theological teaching from Jesus today. Let's put this passage into context for a moment, because it's really striking to me that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. He promises the Spirit is coming again to comfort the disciples. And then what is he going to talk about? John 15, how to remain in Jesus, the true vine. And how do you remain in Jesus? By remaining in his word. And that, a very important passage, John 15, framed by John 14 and John 16, passages on the Holy Spirit. How do we remain in the Word? Through the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we get to learn today how the Holy Spirit helps us remain in Jesus as we remain in His Word, how He guides us along in that whole process. Again, the disciples are grieving. They are just dreading that Jesus will go away. They're probably confused as well, because as we talked about before, no one expected the Messiah to die. The Messiah was supposed to come and live on and save the Jewish people. Jesus said, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God, but I'm going to die for the sins of the world. And it was very perplexing for the disciples, and they were anticipating that very strongly. And so Jesus, once again, says, do not fear, do not worry, do not be anxious. It's actually better for you that I go away. Why? Because if I go away, I will send the Advocate to you, the Spirit of Truth, who will guide you in all truth. And then Jesus goes on in the rest of the passage to explain the work of the Holy Spirit and how it comes to us in three points. So when the Spirit comes, what will He do? Point one. He will convict the world of sin. Verse 8 is the key verse here. The NIV actually says, prove the world to be wrong about sin. I like convict the world of sin. And as we think about this, we may think, well, why does Jesus say this? Why does the world need to be convicted of sin? Because on our own, we tend to think we're pretty good, don't we? We like to compare ourselves to others. We think, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Surely God will accept me in the final judgment. He'll accept me into heaven. So God sends the Spirit, and the Spirit opens up our hearts to see who we are as we open ourselves up to God's Word. The Spirit helps us to realize that we're actually not so good. In fact, we're utterly sinful. And that's the kind of news that, you know, we don't like to hear so often, right? The sin piece. But we need to hear it, because if we don't hear it, then we will not turn to a Savior. So we need to hear that we're sinners in need of a Savior, that we are far from perfect, and we cannot save ourselves on our own. So that's kind of the negative conviction that the Spirit brings. But there's also a positive conviction. Just as the Spirit convicts us of sin, He also convicts us that the gospel is true. That Jesus really did die on the cross for you, and that your sins can be forgiven. That's the beautiful side of the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings. So this leads us to our next point. So point one, the Spirit convicts the world of sin. Point two, the Spirit also guides us in the truth. Now, as you think about Jesus in His life on earth, He spent considerable time teaching the disciples and the people. Lots and lots of teaching and messages delivered. When Jesus came to declare the kingdom of heaven has come near, and then He taught about the kingdom of God. And happily, we have a lot of His lessons recorded in the Gospels. And then beyond that, the lessons of the prophets and the poets, the historians, and then the teachers of the faith in the New Testament to kind of unpack and expand that gospel teaching. As we think about the Scriptures, there is so much here. Like this, God's Word, and there's so much in this book. It's all truth. And it takes a lifetime and then more and beyond to study it and to understand it. And there are certain things that, you know, perhaps we'll never fully understand because this is an ancient book. But one thing is very, very clear in the Scriptures, and that is the truth of the gospel. God has made that abundantly clear through Jesus Christ, his teaching, his life and teaching. And the Spirit takes that teaching and he makes it clear to us in our hearts and minds so we can understand and receive the gospel. The technical term is the perspicuity of Scripture. It's just a theologian's term. It means the gospel is abundantly clearly taught in the Scriptures. So happily, we have this Spirit to convict us of our sin, to help us realize we need to be saved. We're sinners in need of saving. Then we have this Spirit who guides us in the truth and helps us to understand God's Word when we receive it, and help us make the gospel clear to us. This is a wonderful provision that we have here. And this leads us to the last point that Jesus makes. When the Spirit comes, he will, point three, glorify Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit's job from beginning to end. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He guides us in the truth of Scripture, helping us understand the gospel. And then he seeks to glorify Jesus from beginning to end. The Holy Spirit is very present in our lives. I think of Jesus being fully human and fully divine, but God in the flesh, God encased in a body. Jesus couldn't be everywhere at once when he was on earth. He got around. He got around quite well in his ministry on earth. He couldn't be everywhere at once, but the Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit seeks to dwell in us and with us as students of Christ. And his goal is to glorify Jesus at all times. The Spirit likes to defer. He said he fills us so we're convinced of the truth of the gospel, but he doesn't want us to worship him. He wants us to worship Jesus. He wants us to follow Jesus, so he defers. He keeps pointing us to Jesus and say, this is the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. Worship him, adore him, follow him. And that's the job of the Spirit. Elevating Jesus, his person and teaching at all times. So we are increasingly convinced that Jesus is the Savior and that he's beautiful and brilliant, and that we want to follow him. So this is the work of the Spirit according to our passage today. He comes to convict the world of sin, to guide us in the truth, and to glorify Jesus. Oh, how blessed we are to have the gift of the Spirit. Oh, how hard it was for the disciples to say goodbye to their Lord, but oh, how blessed it was that Jesus left. Because in his place, he sent the Spirit to dwell in us and with us and to guide us in the truth. So if we could summarize this work of the Spirit, I would say something like this. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to guide us in the truth. A good summary for us? So, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to guide us in the truth. We are not left alone on this earth. The disciples were very worried about being left alone. They were wondering, what are we going to do without our teacher, our Lord and Savior, our Master? We are not left alone on this earth. Previously, we learned that the Spirit comes to comfort us. He's our advocate, interceding for us, Paul says in Romans, before the throne. He's our spiritual guide, constantly teaching us. So this is a wonderful gift and resource that we have in us and with us. The question now becomes, what are we doing with it? Are we actually opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit? Because we can close ourselves up, and we can do that. We can harden our hearts. We see that story over and over again in Scripture. Israelites hardening their hearts. We can do the same thing, and sometimes we do. The Spirit keeps working on us, keeps convicting us and saying, come on home. And he points Jesus as like the prodigal son, just welcoming us home with open arms. Come back to Jesus. Like, come home again, and then we come home, and we realize that we need to keep opening up our hearts and minds to Jesus through His Word. So how do we do that? How do we continue to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a number of ways, but I'm going to give you what I think is kind of the top three. Top three ways that you can open up your heart and mind to the Holy Spirit and continue receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. Regular communal worship, number one. And don't underestimate the power of the worship service. I know the worship service has fallen on hard times in our culture. I get it. And I also get that, you know, I'm not going to guilt you for skipping the worship service. Sometimes we have good reasons for that. But God uses the worship service to form us spiritually, to open our hearts up to His Word so we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. It's super important. And then out of the worship service, where we receive God's Word, we sing it, we get it in our hearts, we hear God's Word proclaimed, and we respond to it. Then we go home and into our neighbors and workplaces, and we keep meditating on it by reading Scripture and studying it. Personal Bible reading, reading Scripture with your family, small group Bible study, memorizing Scripture. There's a number of different ways to do this through the week. Super important practices as well, and this will help you to keep open to the work of the Spirit in your life as you feed on God's Word. And what happens when you feed on God's Word and the Spirit teaches you, guides you through it, what happens? You naturally respond in prayer. And then there's that special place through prayer where we fellowship with God. And the Spirit is very involved in that process. So three ways that we can keep our hearts open to the work of the Spirit in our lives, that we seek to remain connected to Jesus the Vine through His Word. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't realize it yet, but soon they will. Pentecost is coming. Right? Easter's coming, Pentecost is coming, when we acknowledge the gift of the Spirit in all of its glory. And we know on this side of the cross, we know that the Spirit is already here. And so, brothers and sisters, let us be open to the work of the Spirit in our lives. Let us, partnering with the Spirit, seek to live in such a way, you know, kind of positioning our hearts and minds, as it were, so that we can really be open to God's Word. And it's through the Word that the Spirit forms us, shapes us, guides us, turns us into devoted students of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we think about the recent deaths in our congregation and community, and the joy you have given and will give in the sanctuary over your word, we're also thinking of this story of Jesus and then death. Thank you for moving Jesus to teach the disciples about the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending your Spirit, Christ's representative on earth, to be in us and among us. Thank you for the work of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, we're so grateful because we need the Spirit's conviction, His guidance, and we need to be constantly reminded about Jesus. So we thank you for the work, the Spirit and His work, and we glorify you. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for working in our lives. And now we want to go out and praise you, and we want to serve you, and we want to remain open to you through your word. So Lord, please guide us now as we go. We want to continue growing spiritually, and we want to be on mission together in this kingdom and world. continue, Father, would you please continue to form us spiritually through your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, forming us in the image of Christ. But in his name we pray.